To begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start with singing hymn 67. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father, as we breathe, we pray. Amen. Tonight, I have some random thoughts on random thoughts on what momentous occasions are. And I think that our life is made up of momentous occasions. And our life is lived day by day. So I'd like to start with reading from Matthew 6. It's a very familiar passage, but it didn't hit me until just recently what it's really saying to me. I am telling you not to worry about your life and what you are to eat, nor about your body and how you are to clothe it. Surely life means more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they are? Can any of you, for all his worrying, add one single cubit to his span of life? And why worry about clothing? Think of the flowers growing in the fields. They never have to work or spin, yet I assure you that not even Solomon in all his regalia was robed like one of these. Now if that is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is there today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, will he not much more look after you, you men of little faith? So do not worry, do not say, what are we to eat? What are we to drink? How are we to be clothed? It is the pagans who set their hearts on all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. Set your hearts on his kingdom first and on his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When I looked up definition of moment in the dictionary, I didn't want to be so technical, but I was just curious what it said. And the first thing it said was a passing instant, you know, the flash of time. And I thought, well, yeah. And the second definition said a time of excellence. And I thought, I've never heard that before, a time of excellence. And I think that the moments of our lives are times of excellence. And I'm not talking just about the good moments, but also the bad ones, because they seem to teach us even more than the joyful ones do, and that is excellence. And I was thinking yesterday especially about moments. Moments like when I was sitting there pounding on the drum yesterday morning, and I thought, boy, this sure is boring. You know, there I was pounding away, and I thought, boy, it's 2 minutes up yet, and what's Sig doing? And all of a sudden, while I was pounding the drum, the sun came through the trees. And I just went, oh. I thought, well, he must have sat out every morning and, you know, waited to time this thing so the sun would come up. But it was moments like that. Moments like wave action at dinner. you know, every moment is filled with its joy and sometimes with its pain. And life is a momentous occasion. God gives us moments. And he gives a lot of grace. Now for another random thought, I'd like to read a poem called Days. It's a very short poem. It's by Philip Larkin. And I think it's sort of a funny poem, but it has a lot of truth to it. What are days for? Days are where we live. They come, they wake us time and time over. They are to be happy in. Where can we live but days? Solving that question brings the priest and the doctor, in their long coats running over the fields. Another source of inspiration, I guess, was from the thing Laura read for Matins the other morning about if I had my life to live over again. And there was one phrase in there that really caught me, and that was living years ahead of each day. And I was reminded of Kathy's Vespers about how we go on living our lives and thinking, well, if I just get graduated now from college, everything will be fine, you know. And then you graduate and you think, well, if I just get the job I want, everything will be just great. So you get the job and So I was thinking of that. Living, I guess my phrase for that would be living conditionally. On the condition that this such and such should happen, I can go on and get my act together. We want to, seems like we want to advance as quickly as possible. So we think over the years instead of just the days and the moments. We worry about what's going to happen. And I guess from my own experience and from most of yours, I imagine that worrying does not add a single cubit to your life. It doesn't at all. And it's easy to say, you know, it's hard to apply that, not worry. I was thinking about moments too, that moments are people, and when two people meet in a moment, when they meet, when they're not 1,000 miles apart, they're together, it's really a miracle. It's a God-given miracle, because with all our self-interests and our worries, you know, it's really hard sometimes to meet with a person in such a close manner, in such a God-given manner. And God gives us those moments, and those moments are miracles. And a character in a book that I just finished reading, Zorba the Greek, Zorba lives each day as though it were his first day. And I'd like to read a passage from this. And it is about Zorba. I say to him, talk. I smoke my pipe and I listen. This guest has thoroughly explored the earth and the human soul. I never tire of listening to him. Talk, Zorba, talk. When he speaks, the whole of Macedonia is immediately spread before my gaze, laid out in the little space between Zorba and myself, with its mountains, its forests, its forests, its hard-working women and great, heavily built men. And also Mount Athos with its 21 monasteries, its arsenals and its broad-bottomed idlers. Zorba would shake his head as he finished his tales of monks and say, roaring with laughter, God preserve you, boss, from the stern of mules and the stem of monks. Every evening Zorba takes me through Greece, Bulgaria, and Constantinople. I shut my eyes and I see. He's been all over the racked and chaotic Balkans and observed everything with his little falcon-like eyes, which he constantly opens wide in amazement. Things we are accustomed to, and which we pass by indifferently, suddenly rise up in front of Zorba like fearful enigmas. Seeing a woman pass by, he stops in consternation. What is that mystery? He asks. What is the woman, and why does she turn our heads? Just tell me, I ask you, what's the meaning of that? He interrogates himself with the same amazement when he sees a man, a tree in blossom, a glass of cold water. Zorba sees everything every day as if for the first time. We were sitting yesterday in front of the hut. When he had drunk a glass of wine, he turned to me in alarm. Now, whatever is this red water, boss? Just tell me. An old stalk grows branches, and at first there's nothing but a sour bunch of beads hanging down. Time passes, the sun ripens them, they become sweet as honey, and then they're called grapes. We trample on them, we extract the juice and put it into casks. It ferments on its own. We open it on the feast day of St. John the Drinker. It's become wine! It's a miracle! You drink the red juice, and lo and behold, your soul grows big, too big for the old carcass. It challenges God to a fight. Now tell me, boss, how does it happen? I did not answer. I felt, as I listened to Zorba, that the world was recovering its pristine freshness. All the dull daily things regained the brightness they had in the beginning, when we came out of the hands of God. Water, the stars, bread, returned to their mysterious primitive origin, and the divine whirlwind burst once more upon the air. Now that would be an enjoyable kind of life to live, to see everything that new. I think Zorba is almost impossible, but it's an exciting thing to think about. You know. So our moments with friends, they teach us, they revive us, they give us new dialogue, new prayer, and the ability to pay attention, not only to ourselves or to them, but to everything else. And during these miraculous moments in such communion with individuals, God transforms us, the old Adam and Eve, into the new Adam and Eve. And I've been thinking about the title of a book for a long time, and it's I'm Okay, You're Okay. And I guess I was thinking about it because it seems to cut off communion, the title. I haven't read the book, but just that phrase, you know, doesn't catch with me. I think that we meet on a level of I'm worse than okay and I'm much better than okay, saints and sinners. To say to someone, well, you're okay, sort of implies that they're pretty mediocre. You're okay. I'm okay. Everything's fine. So, you know, that communion with a person, we meet each other on the knowledge that we're both old Adam and Eve and new Adam and Eve. We're not just okay. I was talking to someone and she said, it's neat to run into people who really know how to celebrate. And I was thinking about celebration and how easy it is to celebrate up here. You know, every moment, anything is a cause for celebration. And then I was thinking about going out pretty soon and how we can be so caught up in the busyness of the outside world that we don't find time even to celebrate when we have our moments, you know. And I think I heard this in a lifestyle session. God does not give the world a polite bow, but a passionate embrace. And we are called to give the world a passionate embrace. We are called to celebrate the moments. We are called to see the moments and live by them. The gloom of the world is but a shadow. Behind it, yet within reach, is joy. There is radiance and glory in the darkness. Could we but see, and to see we only have to look. Life is so generous a giver, but we, judging its gifts by their covering, cast them away as ugly or heavy or hard. Remove the covering, and you will find beneath it a living splendor, woven of love, by wisdom, with power. Everything we call a trial, a sorrow, or a duty, believe me, the gift is there, and the wonder of an overshadowing presence. Our joys, too. Be not content within his joys. They, too, conceal diviner gifts. Let's sing hymn number 17. Oh, Lord, time flies and the days pass quickly. Grant that we may become richer and firmer of mind, of character, of heart, that we may become richer in God, that we may become richer in the fine gold of life, the love for each other, and the feeling, and yet I am not alone, as the Father is with me. Amen. Go in peace and celebrate the moment, and live each day as if it were your first.